Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a two-faced Twi'lek and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Salonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean way.
Previously, on Heroes of the Hadean Way, we were introduced to an assortment of characters, one of the many crews wandering the edge of the Empire. Vorin is a Twi'lek who gambled with his life and earned his freedom, traveling with a droid to whom he refuses to be master. The droid Billy, at a loss with her own freedom, sticks close to his side. They ride with a pair of bounty hunters, Barrowin, owner of the ship Sky on Fire, and Cav, again with a love of droid work and a need for credits. Right now, Cav is the one with the plan. But what? Find out on this week's episode, The Strange Incident of the Droid in the Dark.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently, we are playing Trouble Brewing, and it can be found in the Edge of the Empire core book. This is Episode 1, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
This GM's name is Cav. Cav is the technician and pilot of The Sky is on Fire. Cav is played by the human Christine. Christine is the editor and the player for this show. Cav is certain Christine will regret deciding to portray again and speak in the third person by episode 11.
Like binary 11?
Sorry, I'm still recovering from that. I'm Brandon, and I'll be playing Barrowin, the Salonian ship captain of the Sky on Fire. There is no "is" in the name of the ship, but Cav doesn't understand this.
I'm sorry, what is the name of the ship? I've not actually seen it written down.
Sky on Fire.
Sky. So no definite article either.
That's correct.
So noted.
I don't know, after this, Vorin might call it The Sky is on Fire.
Do I continue to refer to it incorrectly for the remainder of the show?
Yeah, that should be your thing. I'll call it correctly. Unless I'm making fun of Cav.
Hi, I'm Leslie. I'm going to be playing Billy, who is a very polite enforcer.
What species are you?
Not a species. I'm a construct.
So like a clay golem or something, right?
I don't have a chem to remove, but I would appreciate if you did not try.
More getting the paper inside the head.
Are you a social construct?
Take your turn, David.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I am David, and I play Vorin Afa, the Twi'lek who is also a smuggler gambler.
Are you Russian?
And who we may regret doing this accent fairly quickly.
But you have made Chris so happy.
He desperately wanted voices.
I spent a lot of time practicing in the car with one chapter of an audiobook.
That's amazing.
It's kind of ridiculous.
To start off every episode, we're wanting to get a question going amongst the Hadean heroes. And today, the question is from Kev.
Billy, how does Billy feel about Billy's combat protocols? Would Billy get rid of them if Billy could?
Why would I wish to remove something that is part of me?
Because they're illegal?
But to remove a portion of me that is at my core would be to remove who I have become and who I have been. Who would I be?
So they are core to Billy's identity.
As I have come to understand identity. Would you like a cookie?
This is like the most zen robot of all time.
This is why I was going to start off with Vorin, but nope.
What are you trying to say?
I made terrible decisions in my life.
Was it not a good response? Break my heart.
That was great.
Billy's just going to come to understand that humans frequently have long, awkward pauses after their sentences. Because that's her interaction with people.
Yes. As soon as you set foot on the planet, you're instantly struck by the stale and parched atmosphere of Formos. The air is breathable, but desiccated despite the cool climate. Most species begin to feel thirsty shortly after landing on the planet, and those used to life on humid worlds soon feel dehydrated and uncomfortable. You notice that species with an aquatic heritage, such as Aqualish, Mon Calamari, and Herglick, are notably absent from those who make a home here. Thankfully, water sellers are a common sight, patrolling the streets and docks, though the prices they advertise would be considered extraordinary on most habitable worlds. As you come down the ramp of Sky on Fire, someplace relatively reminiscent of, well, it's more of a small town. Like, you can see in the center, there's a larger building, most likely a eatery of some variety. There does look to be a hologram, but it's not pointed towards you, so you're not really able to see it. There's a couple what you might call main roads, or more they're just roads. They're wide enough for, like, four speeders to go down, but there's no improvement to them at all. There's no, like, paving, not even really trying to keep anything out of the road. You can see a couple Rontos going around. You can even see off in the distance a group of four stormtroopers very slowly walking around, and their armor is not clean. It's definitely white, but the shininess has been sanded off of it. As Kev has heard, on this small, out-of-the-way crossroads is a Celestian Cluehorn player named Fia Mund. Mund has taken up residence here and is being backed up by a Zexto group.
Zexto?
Sure, yes.
Zexto. Zexto, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They have so many arms.
Yeah. They make great percussionists. In fact, these ones do.
It's kind of cheating, yeah.
I just realized that Cav is fascinated by clue horns because she literally is not physically capable of playing them.
She could construct some sort of bladder-based air-expressing droid. You don't know that. Come on.
Wade winds are one of the great mystery of the universe.
She has diagrams of them on her walls.
I mean, she has a gas bladder that just expels something. Like, probably she could play some kind of wind instrument. It just wouldn't.
Cav has tried. Cav's bladder does not expel.
I have said the word bladder far too many times in the first 5 minutes of an adventure.
Yes. All right. Now,
like, are they just playing on, like, the street corner, or is this?
No, you saw that Mund was supposed to be playing at the Reed Jenkins establishment of the Biscuit Baron,
a top flight venue
for this planet. What planet are we on anyway?
You are on Formos.
Why are we on Formos?
To see Mund.
Oh, we're literally there for this event.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. The entire reason that we came to this planet was so that you could hear a Celestin play the Cluehorn and a Biscuit Baron.
Verin is correct.
Ugh.
I'm not sure you exactly told us all the details, Cav. Like the Biscuit Baron part.
Cav thought Cav was very straightforward.
Well, yeah, but I thought you were joking.
Did they serve anything stronger than soft drinks at these Biscuit Barons?
No.
Then this is going to be a very long concert.
As you were walking to this establishment, I was hoping to get a perception check. An easy perception check.
From the group or individual or...
Sure. Either which way you want to do it.
Start us off strong, Christine. Roll group.
Just don't ask Barrowin to do this, please.
Okay. So then if we're making this a group check...
Three green.
So I have... Sorry, Cav has... If I'm not in character here, I need to get in the habit. Has zero ranks in perception and a two cunning. Which, what's sad is this is a 100% increase in the perception abilities of my last character.
Always very impressive, my dear. I have a base 3.
Verin?
I have a base of 3 cunning, but I only have 1 rank in perception.
Okay, then I think Verin is our eyes and ears here.
Yep, that's definitely for sure.
Do we want to roll destiny points?
Destiny points would be a good idea. Let's do that.
So our final pool for the session are 2 light side points and 5, count them, 5 dark side points.
You're welcome, Ben.
Go team.
This is going to be a long concert.
Why do I keep any of you around?
Cav is very good with the sky is on fire.
Cav doesn't even know its name.
Cav is very good with names.
All right, and now for the actual roll.
All right, so I have... How difficult is it?
It is one purple.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
I'm impressed.
So for the listeners, David, what are your results?
All right, I had one rank in perception, so I had two greens. Or excuse me, one rank in perception and three cunning. So I rolled two greens, a yellow, and one purple. And I got one advantage. I rolled two successes, but the purple came up two failures. Vurin is distracted by the fact that he's already dreading this concert, and he's dubious about these biscuits.
As you're walking, trying to find a path to this baron, the four of you are surprised by, all of a sudden, you notice the sand in front of you just sort of bulging up and shifts oddly. A second later, there's a hole right in front of you. You're barely able to stop before falling in.
There's my advantage.
Like a pothole or like a sinkhole?
This is more like a trapdoor hole. That's pretty much the entire alleyway wide as you're trying to move over and get in front of this thing.
Cav and K1 exchange a glance, and then Cav, through K1's translation matrix, cheerfully says,
"The crew should be careful with the crew's steps. Formos is an odd planet."
And it's exactly at that point where a Weequay's head pops out and looks around, looks up, examines the four of you, looks the other way, shrugs, saying that there's doesn't look like the four of you are Imperial. Like, I mean, we've got Twi'lek, a Gant, a giant space otter, Salonian, and a droid. So, not exactly on the Imperial vibe. Then, two small Ugnaughts start shoving crates up at them. And looking at you...
Do you require assistance?
Billy, do not help these people. This is not any of our business. And these crates coming out of the street. You don't want to get involved.
What do you mean? These crates are perfectly legal. What makes you think that they're not?
I said nothing about illegal. I simply said it was none of our business.
Nobody said it was illegal, friend. Unless it is.
Why are you looking at me like that, then?
It's not every day you see a Weequay and two Ugnaughts come out of the road.
Maybe you need to be around here more.
Is this perhaps a usual event?
Maybe.
Well, given that this crew has borne witness to this Weequay's transgression, perhaps some compensation is in order.
Cav, don't extort the fine gentleman. But I like the compensation idea, though.
I am horribly offended.
Cav does not think this Weequay wishes for these Imperial stormtroopers to hear of this sinkhole's location.
How dare this Gant have the trepidity to insinuate that I'm doing something untoward?
Do you mean temerity?
Fairwind's grammar lesson is free. The crew's silence is not.
Was that the Ugnaught or the Weequay talking there? Who seems to be the ringleader?
The Weequay is the one talking. The two Ugnaughts now have a couple crates up next to the trapdoor and are dragging the door back into place. One of them is skittering sand over it. The other one's jumping up and down, making sure that's in place.
How large are these crates? I assume they're smallish if Ugnaughts are able to move them.
They're pretty sturdy, bro.
And also, they've got the repulsor thing going with them as well. So, it doesn't take too much to move them. It was more moving them up, in which it was like one pushing and the other one pulling. So, it was definitely a two Ugnaught deal to get them
sure.
out.
Sure. So, how are they? How big are they?
Roughly, I'd say a meter by a meter by a meter.
Okay.
Vorin's going to sit down on one of them and just sort of look at the group and say,
The way that I see this, there are only a few ways that this can go. And I think it would be better to be paying us than to have to deal with the fact that you are outnumbered and outsized, friends.
Oh, I can say I can put nothing over on you.
Cav beams, thinking that the compliment was directed at Cav.
Voron just sort of throws in, and might I suggest some sort of holo camera or lookout or something, you know, opening up the trap door and throwing crates out in the middle of the street. It's a good way to interest passers-by with a guy for credits.
Oh, who are you going to tell? The Imperials? They don't look at shipments here anymore, unless it's as obvious. And as you can see, these crates here, they're perfectly legitimate.
And even with Vern sitting on one of the crates, the two Ugnaughts are just slowly pushing them.
Billy, it appears that I am being very slowly kidnapped.
I don't know where this is going to go, but these people strike me as not very detail-oriented. So I want to flip a light side point. Their repulsor sled is starting to give out. Coil's not doing too well.
All right.
Hearing the crate come slowly skidding to a stop on the sand. What are you to do? I told you to check the crates. No, everything is good. No, of course. Now look at us.
These criminals have failed basic maintenance on their repulsor sled.
Perhaps you could offer to assist them.
Yes, in fact, it appears that you have a manual labor problem now, and we do in fact have, as you might have noticed, quite a large and brawny droid. Such things are not free, however.
Where exactly are you planning on going with this stuff?
Baron will also like gesture to Kav to like go check it out, which I'm hoping, or she's hoping, Kav will take to mean, like, figure out what's in the crates. But being that she only has one cunning, she probably makes this gesture in a very obvious fashion. and like a great big wink.
Yeah, Cav first looks at you, and then there's this moment of like, oh, because Cav's not very, you know, in
oh my gosh,
either.
Oh my gosh.
Cav is going to turn and crouch down beside the crate and start looking it over.
And Billy is watching this and just shakes her head silently.
Vuren is silently ashamed, but he has too much of a poker face to admit it.
Especially considering it was on Vuren's crate that the repulsor gave out.
Just unceremoniously skidding to the ground.
Yeah, just the Ugna keeps pushing, slowly goes down and down and down, and then just skidding on the sand until it has too much sand in front of it. It's just scowling at you. As you're doing this, the Weequay does have a credit chit that is going between his fingers. Along the back. Yeah, from finger to finger.
He's doing the cool
finger.
Flippy thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So where exactly are you headed, friend?
Well, you see, I have a few associates that need what is in these crates. They have developed a want for them. And, well, me being the generous sort that I am, well, I have what is in these. I'm very much of the sort who connect people with things that I have versus things that they want. With very little questions.
Are they local?
So how far out of our way are you expecting us to go? Because apparently we have a concert to go to.
But we can cancel. We can definitely cancel.
Oh, no, no, you do not want to cancel?
No, the crew cannot cancel. Cav will repair this repulsor sled.
Nose to the grindstone, Cav.
Mund with the Zecto backing? Oh, if you have not heard, you must see this. And then flips the credit chit at Cav.
Cav will kind of like double like hand catch it out of the air. So it's not especially graceful, but Cav still manages to catch it. While I am looking this crate over, especially while they were talking, I do want to see if I can't figure out or at least have a good guess for Barrowin of what was inside of this thing.
All right. Kind of thinking that that's going to be like a red for stealth on account of I'm flipping a destiny point myself. Or whichever. It's just going to be a red, whatever.
Okay, so this is a stealth check.
I was figuring that was going to be a stealth check, but it, like, if you're trying to fix it, I'd just upgrade. Give me advantage on a mechanics check to fix it. It's the way I'm looking at it.
Okay, well, first I want to determine what's in it. I do intend to try to fix it, probably.
All right, if you're doing that, then yeah, it's a coordination also would kind of work, or even athletics, yeah.
I will go with either the coordination or the stealth. So is my difficulty just the red or is it?
Just the red. Okay. It is an upgraded purple because I have flipped a destiny point.
All right. So I'm rolling 3 green versus that red. I have 2 successes, but a threat. So I think I'm going to determine what's in it. Hopefully a threat's not enough to get caught. Maybe I have to like close the container very quickly and I like catch my thumb in it.
Okay, I've got a scene here. So there's Kev looking in. Kev sort of somewhat stealthily tries to lean up against it and causes the top to open. There is a broken Imperial seal on it, like an Imperial Army seal on it, and opens, and you can see the hilts of blaster rifles in there. And it's like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have done this. Closing, and down locked. As you look over to see if anyone's around, you see one of the Ugnaughts just looking up at you and scowling.
Cav's mandibles split open in a smile. It's horrifying. And then Cav is going to crouch back down and start working on actually repairing this thing, because I don't want these people to be mad at us. And they did pay me technically something.
50 credits.
Ooh, Cav has no shame.
Apparently not. Have you seen the way Cav dresses?
Or noticed how Cav just kind of like demands money from people.
Randomly. Like you, yep. You give me money.
Hey, it's worked on the crew.
It made for a really first like awkward meeting with a dock master. Where the dock master's like, okay, you pay me credits. And Cav's like, no, you pay us credits. All right. So then I will actually try to repair this thing.
All right. In which case, I'm going to... It just doesn't feel like it should be all that hard. Though I do think you'd be away from your toolkit, maybe? No. Well,
I have a tool belt around my waist.
All right. Still going to toss a setback at you. It's going to be a purple and a setback.
I will get off the crate if that wasn't already obvious. I don't want to be bothering her.
All right. So I bring K1 in. K1 has a built-in tool set of her own to assist me. Because unlike maybe a certain Botham mechanic of a previous season, I don't have the ability to remove setback dice.
Yet.
But I'm not going to. It's not on my tree.
This tree.
True. But I can get some droid assistance since I have somebody else skilled in mechanics with tools to help me out with those. So I've got 2 yellow, 2 green for my skill with a blue for K1 versus that purple and setback.
Yes, it is. Actually, make it 2 setback because it's so hot.
Okay. 1 success with 2 advantages.
Ooh.
The heat and whatever the other setback was are impeding Cav throughout this, but the overall repair wasn't that difficult. And within maybe 30 seconds of tweaking, that repulsor coil flares back to life and the crate lifts up back out of the dust.
I'm just sort of envisioning it, just sort of almost sort of rocketing up and Vern getting shoved off of it.
This is why I got off before.
I was about to say, he had dismounted.
He's far too smooth to let that happen.
2 advantages. What do you want those to be?
I don't know. It's kind of a player thing.
So at this point, do we as players want this to stay on the down low, or do we think that there's something useful pressure-wise for somebody to notice this going on?
I don't know. Vuren's actually not all that interested in shaking these people down too much because he's already got a little bit of money and he doesn't really see that we have that much leverage other than the fact that we saw them come out of a trapdoor. And given the kind of planet we're on, that doesn't seem all that unusual. So he's sort of like, well, we got some money out of it. Let's take what we can. Not push our luck annoying these people. He doesn't know what's in the crate either.
It's more important like to perhaps know in case there, you know, maybe there is a bounty posted on people trading in illegal blaster rifles. Or something of that nature. But at the moment, we don't have any indication we're going to be able to make more money out of those.
Well, I was thinking if we thought it was useful for the stormtroopers or somebody else to take note, then I think that kind of thing could constitute advantage for us. But that's obviously dependent on how we weigh that as useful versus not.
I don't think that is as useful because I think that would just probably get us in trouble too, since we're right there in the moment.
Unless you're willing to use that to extricate yourself.
Hey, maybe you found a pry bar.
That's why I stopped working.
Yep, there was a pry bar embedded in this repulsor coil, and Cav pulls it out and looks it over, and Cav asks aloud,
What sentient being makes a pry bar this small?
That was childish.
Oh, now that's where it went. I swear, Seamus over here was looking for his pry bar for weeks. Thank you so much for finding that.
Five more credits.
There's a you can't really see Cav's eyes through the sunglasses, but Cav looks at the pry bar, looks at Seamus, or looks at the person saying this. It does debate for a moment on keeping the pry bar, because that went through Christine's head, and then Cav passes it back over.
And one of the Ugnaughts, the other Ugnaught, takes it, really gives a good oink of delight, and puts it in their coveralls, and starts, like, motions to the other one, Nathan.
Now Cav understands who needs a pry bar that small.
Perhaps Cav should learn not to judge others by their size.
Cav turns and looks way up at Billy.
Billy pats Cav on the head.
And yeah, Seamus and Nathaniel are just making for the end of the alleyway.
And as they're starting to depart, Cav looks at the credit chit, does that creepy smile to the rest of the crew and says,
Cav will pay for the crew's biscuits.
I do not consume biscuits, but thank you.
Vuren, like, briefly considers asking or, like, saying, oh, good, there's two. Then he's like, I don't know if I actually want one.
And as they're departing, Cav will get closer to Barrowin and will report in.
Cav saw that the Weequay and the Ugnaughts were transporting Imperial blaster rifles.
Stolen?
Cav gives you a, like, a no-duh look.
How does that look on a Gand?
She just, like, looks over the rim of her sunglasses.
Barrowin gives you a my cunning is one look.
Yes. Yes, Barrowin. The Weequay and the Ugnaughts stole the rifles.
Well, they might not have stolen them.
As he passes over where the trapdoor was, Vuren takes, like, the tip of his shoe and just sort of scores a slight line in the sand, just obscuring, like, the corner of it, so he knows where it is if he needs to find it later.
All right. So exiting the alleyway, the Ugnaughts and the Weequay take a left. The way you're pretty sure that you need to go is to the right. And as you get out, you can start seeing, like, stalls set up. You can see a couple water cellars there with large tanks. You can see one there. Actually has a sign up in, like, one's in Arabish, another one's in, like, High Galactic with, like, Twi'lek off to the side saying, Mama Noba, cheapest water on Formos, and starts listing a few of the prices. As opposed to what a couple of the other barkers are saying, this actually looks to be a lot cheaper. And yeah, you can see potable, like, jugs of water in front, like canteens that are, a couple of them are clear, a couple of them are closed. One or two of them have what looks to be frost on them. In other directions, you see, like, a meat cellar that is entirely dealing in dried or cooked meats. And a few other stalls. Yeah, you've got people standing in behind the stalls with their product in front of them.
Is it all, like, consumables, food, water, things of that nature?
For the most part, or stuff that's pretty easily transportable.
Cav does slow down at, like, one stall that's selling, like, power cells and other little bits and bobs, but when Cav does that, K1 just kind of angrily, or not angrily, but more just like reminding Cav of,
if you delay any longer, we're going to miss the concert.
And Cav, like, nods and goes ahead and moves on.
As you get closer to the front door of Regenk's Biscuit Baron, and you can actually see the, like, Biscuit Baron logo and then Regenk's underneath. As you're getting closer, out of the corner of your eyes, you see a young human who looks to be a little on the grubby side. A little bit more of, say, a urchin-esque. Still teenage, so not quite whatever his name was.
Crumpet.
Crumpet, yeah. Not quite Crumpet, like actually older than Crumpet. You see him, he's got a length of pipe in his hand. And standing in front of one of the stalls, slamming it into his hand, and then slamming it on the top of the stall. All right, I'm here to collect for the big man around these parts. You know what I mean? It'll be 20 credits if you know it's good for you, plus an extra 5 for all the trouble.
Who's he saying this to?
One of the stall owners.
Oh, okay.
Ah. Yeah, I was wondering why he was shaking us down.
Yeah. I was like, really?
Wow, karma comes around fast in this world.
That's not the name of my blaster, Cav.
Cav watches this too for a moment, but...
Barrowin grabs Cav by the collar just in case.
Cav was not going to try to intervene, Barrowin.
Yeah, this Rodian behind the stall sort of shakingly pulls out 2 cred chits, lays them down on the top, and shrinks away from this young kid.
And Varun just turns to Billy and goes, "Now see, Billy, this right here is why we never went into retail.
Because a young human would be threatening us. I dare say we could handle that."
It's scarier. It's usually the older ones who want coupons.
Coupons?
it just evolves into a side conversation.
Of him explaining what a coupon is.
Yeah, Varun just trying desperately to explain a coupon.
Meanwhile, like a step behind you, Cav is pulling out like some Biscuit Baron coupons from their coveralls.
That would be perfect. Yeah. Like, as the 4 of you walk by, you can see the teen scowling at you. After the 4 of you have actually passed by, it's like, "Yeah, that's right. You didn't see anything here." And then turns and moves on.
Mm. We're just looking for a quiet drink, Cav. And whatever it is we're here for, musically. Remember our talk about not getting into trouble?
No. When did Barrowin and Cav have that talk?
Which time?
Barrowin worries too much.
And Cav pats Barrowin on the shoulder.
How?
And what's meant to be kind of comforting, actually, that's a good point. More like on your arm than like your biceps, right? The best I can reach. Kind of like pats you there. Can't really get it through all the fur. Flashes that creepy smile at you.
Barrowin likes to keep her tail intact. Also the rest of her.
So Vorin's sort of pushing open the door to the Biscuit Baron. And all you hear is he's like pushing it open, looking behind him at Billy. Is, "No, I don't know why they still clip them out. I think it's part of the experience. Hollows would be much easier."
I see.
Cav likes using scissors.
Not quite to the bearing yet, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, too late. Or too bad. For me. Not for you.
He's pushing past something else.
Yes, he's just opening
a door. He's going in a door he thinks is the one to the Biscuit Baron, but he's wrong.
He thinks it's the Biscuit Baron because he saw the sign and he's like, "Oh, wait a minute, wrong room." No, whatever. We'll just skip that and move
no,
on. That doesn't
work. That works better. That actually works better.
House Vorin. This is not our destination.
On the other hand, on the inside, you see a disorderly jumble of hastily constructed dwellings around the cantina. As you look into this particularly dark and narrow residence, you hear a commotion, and then there's a loud rattling and buzzing noise coming from within the residence. The rattling stops, and you hear a low, monotonous voice calling out. The voice is buzzing and faint, but you can still hear, "Hello? Zzz. Help! Please! I need help!" And the noises seem to come from a pile of metallic debris in a far corner.
Is it just Varun who hears this, or do we all hear this?
At least Varun and Billy, if not all.
Varun will cautiously approach, but he's not getting too close to it. He'll sort of call out and he'll say, "Hello? Are you calling for help? What do you need?"
And as you get closer, some of the debris shifts, and you can see the upper torso of a protocol droid lying there, the 2 lights of their eyes somewhat flickering, a bunch of wires hanging out the bottom underneath where the saucer is in there.
Cav takes off Cav's sunglasses and is going to start rapidly approaching, seeing the injured droid.
"Greetings. So glad you found me. Please help. They took my friend. Please help save R4W9.
Who took your friend, and did they also take your lower torso?
My friend and I were on our way to the Baron when we were zapped upon by a band of thugs. They tore apart me with bars and dragged him away. Please, it's too late to do anything for me, but save my friend.
This droid shouldn't say that. Cav can fix this droid.
Cav isn't certain that Cav can fix this droid, but...
Bedside manner.
Yeah.
Oh no, I can feel my charge ebbing away.
Guess you should have stopped at that stall.
This droid is not long for this world. Soon, I shall meet the Great Maker.
Ben, is there some way I can try to, like, stabilize this droid's power source?
You can try and prolong it, but not really. You can probably get a bit of information out of it, but its bottom half has been ripped and then pretty much destroyed. And you can see, like, half of its guts pretty much lying out underneath it. Actually kind of a disturbing sight, even for the artwork that I see in the core book. Like, yeah.
Meanwhile, while she's looking into that, Vorin's trap senses are going off. Like, this seems like, to him at least, a textbook, like, get them distracted and then hit them with a pipe from behind and mug them. So he's just sort of, like, glancing around, like, looking for anybody coming at them with a pipe.
All right. In that case, can I get a 2 purple perception check, please?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's 1 yellow, 2 greens, and 2 purples.
Actually, change one of those purples to a red.
Okay.
As I use one of these destiny points, because I have so many of them.
All right, so final pool is 2 greens, a yellow, a purple, and a red. And the results are 2 successes and an advantage.
So I'm assuming everyone's inside the hut?
Yep.
With, like, some of this really blasting sun coming in. So what Vern can see is an eye and a half worth of Rodian's head sort of peeking around the corner and looking in, and then meets your eyes. There's a quick look between the two of you, and then it ducks behind a door jamb and you lose sight of him.
Don't look now, but we are being watched. Or we're being watched. And he kind of gestures at the door.
I'll dart out the door and see if I can spot the watcher.
You can see a relatively young Rodian there, and he sees the Salonian come out the door and just looks up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Please, my crew said that I was to meet some people here near the Baron, but, well, they said this big furry person, and then with a Twi'lek, and I thought it was you, but I don't...
Hey, kid, calm down. I'll crouch sort of to his level, I guess. I don't know how young he is, but...
He's, like, early 20s is...
Okay, so he's probably an adult. He's just a young adult.
Yeah, like, young, kind of shy, somewhat nebbish.
Barrowin will place a hand lightly on his shoulder, but also, you know, just in case something happens, and say, now, calm down and tell me what you saw.
Oh, no. See, I'm the navigator for this small smuggling group. I don't know why. I just do the navigation and a bit of the piloting. They want me to come here and find our contact. And, well, you and the Twi'lek and, well, the Gant and the
insect good
person. You all look like kind of like the group that I was told to come find. But obviously you're not, because you weren't expecting me.
Does anybody know anything about a contact?
It depends. How much was this contact going to be paid?
We were supposed to be getting some cargo from them. They didn't even tell me what it was supposed to be, but...
Did you happen to see anybody with an R4 unit around here? Possibly bound and gagged.
No. People buying droids? Don't they just use those restraining bolt things?
I mean, if they want to do it the easy way.
Sorry, I have this image of, like, we got a droid bounty at one point, and Barrowin, like, put the gag and, like, handcuffed them.
And she has a grapnel harpoon. She certainly used it.
Well, like, all of our droids have restraining bolts on them. Isn't that what droids do?
Let's table that for now. Who do you work for? You said a smuggling operation, but you didn't really say any names. Because we're looking for work, is the thing. Especially if it's very urgent and it means that we wouldn't be able to make it to this concert.
I thought we were attending the concert.
Assuming we don't have paying work, Billy.
I see.
Oh no. I'm not supposed to say anything. I'm just supposed to say if anyone asks. No, we work for the Aquilish and... They'll space me if I say any more. I saw them do it to someone.
Perhaps you should not work with them, if this is a risk. Perhaps you should find another job. There are many rewarding lines of work.
Yeah, and people who space people aren't your friends. And then Barrowin turns to the camera and says, "That's right, kids." If a stranger says he's going to space you, find an adult.
Cav remembers that conversation.
And then Chewie shows up in a trench coat and says, "That's how you take a bite out of crime." Right, so that's how you take a bite out of mad spacers.
I know that asking this question is not going to get me very far because of my numbers, but does the kid seem to be telling me the truth?
The kid seems too scared to lie.
Okay.
Like, you know the sort of shy, I'm going to twist a foot underneath, hoping for an opening to just book it? That's exactly where this Rodian is. Like, if given an opportunity or a moment of inattention from Barrowin, this kid's gone.
Yep, she's reasonably focused on him and again has the...
The big friendly paw
on his shoulder.
That weighs a lot.
Yeah. I mean, her paws don't weigh that much. They are biggish, I guess, but they're kind of scraggly. I don't know.
I don't think I call it your name.
It's Freebo? Gango?
Are you not certain?
I'll just call you Freebo.
Yes, I'm Freebo.
Freebo, here's the thing. The galaxy, it's a big, dangerous place, and sometimes people are going to try to take advantage of you. And I hate to break it to you, but that's what's happening right now. Not with us, I mean, but with these other people.
Like, yeah, at this point, Freebo's eyes are just huge. Like,
is he crying yet?
We can help you. So, I'm not saying you have to tell us things you're not comfortable telling us. And I'm not saying you have to come with us or anything like that. I'm just saying that you should follow your heart and we'll be on your side and be proud of you no matter what.
Lauren literally face palms in the background.
Is Barrowin made of after school specials?
Barrowin has a leadership style.
At least it's like the networks as opposed to some of those other off-brand after-school specials.
Doesn't matter if you win or lose, kids. We'll go get biscuits after the game.
Okay, so Barrowin is attempting to do which now?
I'm gunning to get to make a leadership role if there's a role involved. I'm willing to go with other things, but leadership's what I'm good at.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to lead him into a course of action that is helpful
also,
to us.
Also, you're trying to lead him into making his own decisions more intelligently.
Right. Ideally, decisions that help us.
Ideally. But, you know, Billy supports you supporting him. Everybody needs a second chance.
Seriously, first sessioning, you guys are trying to pick up a pet. I got it.
Oh, no, I don't care.
I want a pet!
This just sounds suspicious. I mean... Rodians have a very short lifespan, guys. I just don't want you to have any illusions about how long this pet would last.
You're the one that named it.
Also, one of you will have to feed him. It's not my responsibility.
Vorin is a very fine cook.
And he can sleep in the cupboard under the stairs.
Now he's going to be force sensitive.
Yes!
I have a Minoc that... Yeah, I'll be quiet now.
Very distinctive scar around one of his antenna.
Okay, this kid is scared out of his mind. Mostly, like, between being in the big city, like, for him, the big city, he's got the Salonian that is, like, double his size. This kid looks fairly frail. He's not even remembering about the hold-up blaster and the small of his back. If you're attempting to lead him, I'm going to go with, like, one purple, one red, and two setback.
I feel like he's kindly disposed to us. I mean, Billy's being friendly. Vorin's not being unfriendly. And Cav hasn't smiled at him yet.
Let's see, that would give me a green.
Which is good.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and flip a light. All right, so I was rolling two yellows, a green because of the light side, a red, a purple, and a black. And I ended up with two successes and two threat. I'm sure we're just going to let the threat slide.
And that is because Barrowin has a cunning of one.
Yeah, no. So you've been trying to inspire Rebo to attempt to make better choices in life and like set out on a place that's not likely to space him or anything.
Starting today. Starting right now.
Starting with coming with us.
Or just telling us why somebody's looking for us or our evil doppelgangers, but I think the odds of that are low.
It's a little early for evil doppelgangers.
Yeah. That's also not really a Star Wars thing.
It's also yet to be decided that we're the good doppelgangers.
I don't know. I ran an entire campaign where that was basically the case, so...
Anywho, those two success and threat. I mean, what threat?
I mean, only one of us has a U in their name, so only Vern can have a clone with two U's in his name.
Vuren.
The rest of us are unclonable.
I don't know. Maybe there's a Cav out there with only one A.
Oh, man. So Cav is the clone?
Surprise.
Is that why Cav's a little unhinged?
It explains so much.
Is she breaking down?
So much and so little. All right. So at least for right now, the kid looks to be like calm, semi under control. And yeah, Vrebo's there just sort of, okay, sure. Big Salonian furry person with a giant tail.
Those are all technically descriptors of Barrowin, yeah.
Billy will poke Cav and say, "Perhaps young Betor Vrebo needs a biscuit. I often find refreshments lighten the mood."
Yeah, not from what I've heard of Biscuit Baron.
Cav likes that idea.
Ben, did the droid die?
No, not yet. It's...
Okay.
I was sort of handling this as Vern was doing his thing, Vern and Barrowin are sort of doing their thing, and then back to, I guess... Well, at least Cav, if not Cav and Billy, because, well...
I figure Billy's standing partway between the two parties.
Cav does have to do sort of a double take to even know who you're referring to with Vrebo, because Cav has been focused on the droid during at least part of this.
She's been in droid land.
Yes, we have J9, who is lying there, half lying there, on the ground, looking up at Cav.
What can this droid tell Cav about the... R4 unit counterpart?
Please find W9. It was probably one of those smugglers. W9 has been through the run to Kessel so many times. W9 knows his way very, very well. They attacked about almost a day ago, and there were so many of them. They seemed human, but they were all wearing hoods.
So this droid is not sure what group of smugglers took W9.
They might have been having to do something with that acquisition.
A qualish?
Yes.
What does W9 look like? The scan knows that W9 is an R4 droid, but the scan is more wondering... What color?
W9 as a chassis, that is a deep blue with orange trim.
This Gand has an awkward question for this droid.
Yes?
What would this droid like done with this droid's remains?
Which is a question I, Christine, realize droids are probably like never asked in the Star Wars universe.
Please... make sure that they do not get destroyed. They have already taken so much from me. I cannot bear for them to get any more. We were freed by our former owner when they died. And now I want to die free. Please, please try and save him from... this Bandon.
Cavwell.
Please save him from this Bandon Doba.
Cavwell see W9 free again.
Thank you.
And you see the lights go out with their arm up on Cav's shoulder.
Billy.
Yes, Betorkev.
Will Billy carry this droid's remains back to the sky is on fire?
Shall I do so now?
Yes, please. The crew will need to find a suitable resting place for this free droid.
I shall endeavor to do so with honor.
And Cav is actually pretty respectful as, like, Cav is picking up the pieces and passing them over to Billy's arms. Not so much in terms of, like, the scavenging sort of way, but more, like, Cav is treating this droid as if we're picking up the corpse of any other sentient being in the galaxy. Just like, okay, we're gonna take care of this thing.
All right.
Billy will do as requested. If no one's going to stop her, she will literally just walk back to the ship now.
Cav will actually start following Billy. And as we're, like, exiting, still not paying the Rodian much mind, Cav looks at Barrowin and says,
Cav has the crew a job.
You got us a job? What's it pay?
Cav smiles and shrugs.
Billy looks at Cav and says, you know, this is for whom I asked the biscuit. She nods at Vrebo under the mighty paw of Barrowin.
Hello, Rodian. This Gand is Cav.
Cav extends a hand in greeting.
And Vrebo in, like, you can just sort of see Vrebo's hand almost vibrating, shaking, as it extends and shakes Cav's hand. Looking between Barrow and Cav, Billy, like, looking up and up with Billy, and then at Vern, who's been kind of quiet off in the side.
This will make splitting the 50 credits easier.
Oh, boy.
Which is what Cav can guarantee in terms of payment on this job. Yeah. But Cav assures Barrowin, this job is for a good cause.
That didn't sound the most convincing, though, Cav. The way your voice kind of turned up a little bit at the end of that.
How did that even go through K1?
Maybe K1's the one that's skeptical.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm thinking K1 was the one that added the eyebrow raise at the end of that.
Very possibly. I will also point out that since all the translations are going through K1, all of K1's stats are a characteristic of 1, so...
What art thou wanting to do? Because if you want to, you can finally get to that Munda concert.
You've killed the mood for Cav. Cav is gonna follow Billy back to the ship with the
Is Vrebo coming with us, or is he standing there?
Oh yeah, Vrebo's coming with us.
He'll just sort of, so Vurin will walk past, just sort of flash a razor grin at him as he walks past, tap him on the shoulder, like pat him on the shoulder, and be like, "Relax, kid. They can't space you if you don't go to space."
Not helping. Vurin?
Vurin will just walk away now.
At which point, yeah, gonna hide behind Barrowin.
Come on, kid. You'll be fine.
Does this mean Vrebo is a member of the crew?
Not in Vurin's mind. He's cargo.
No, Cav. Vrebo's just a friend.
So Barrowin will be kicking Vrebo off the ship before.
I don't
the crew
kick
departs.
People off the ship, Cav.
He looks at Vrebo again.
Cav has once seen Barrowin literally kick someone off of the sky is on fire.
That was a one-time thing.
You said you weren't going to space me.
We were in an atmosphere, kid. It's different.
Technically, Vrebo, he said they wouldn't space you. He flashes that razor grin again, like the sharp tooth, like shark-like. I mean, Vurin's at this point just enjoying teasing the kid, because he's like, this day is completely shot anyway.
And with this, I'm just sort of figuring that the kid is going to... I'm now going to use those two threats and have him bolt for the biscuit baron.
Okay. Didn't want to have to do this.
Barrowin's friend is a very good runner.
Do I get his share now?
Quick question. Did Cav get from the droid... was that either within earshot of Barrowin, or did Cav update her on this? I guess we haven't actually exchanged words, so probably no to the second one.
I don't think we've exchanged information. I think the only one who kind of was in the good position to hear both pieces was Billy.
Okay, well,
Billy knows all.
Barrowin probably is not going to lasso the kid then.
well, let's have this awkward exchange where... Cav sort of shrugs and says,
the crew needs to rescue an R4 droid from a group of smugglers. We should go.
Smugglers?
Yes.
What kind of smugglers?
The smugglers who killed the protocol droid.
Is their boss an Aqualish?
Yes. How did Barrowin know?
Oh. I'm going to grapple the kid now.
At this point, the kid is through the saloon doors of the Biscuit Baron. Because, yep, it's just that kind of place.
Sure. Then we're going to pursue the kid.
So when Barrowin takes off running after the kid, Cavil shrug, look back at Billy, and say,
Billy, the crew needs to make a detour. Follow.
And Cavil start running after Barrowin.
What's Vern up to?
Vern's just sort of like taken by surprise by all of this. He did not expect anyone to care that much about the droid. He didn't expect anyone to care that much about the Rodian because nobody was offering to pay them. And he's just very surprised by all of this. And he's sort of rolling his eyes like, why are we even doing this? But he is mildly interested to see what exactly was so important about this concert at the Biscuit Baron. So he will casually stroll after them into the Biscuit Baron and sort of shrug.
Billy will stick with Vern.
You may want to leave the dead droid outside. It's not exactly an appetite enhancer.
To do so would be rather impolite.
It might also be impolite to bring a dead droid into a room full of people who are trying to eat.
But you do not regard droids as living creatures. Why would this upset an appetite?
I'm just trying to make up some way to respond to that. Warren just sort of sighs and face palms again. It's that kind of day, and just goes in.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and I'm at Deuterium Ice.
If you want to hear more from me, you can find me on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 1-2, T-H and Night with a K, where I can usually be found nerding out about something, probably Star Wars. In addition, I was a part of 3 RPG one-shots for International Podcast Month, playing with a variety of awesome folks in the general RPG actual play community, such as Ross Rockefeller from Dicer Brains, Victoria from the Broadswords, Joey from Tales from the Five Nations, and so many more awesome people, where I got to play in a Tales from the Loop game, a Rhesus game, and I made my GMing podcast debut running a Force and Destiny game. And you can listen to those and find out more information over at internationalpodcastmonth.com.
And I am on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
I am Leslie at LeslieGS.
And you can find me, David, at AKA Agent Shades.
We are all at theHydeanWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or donate a coffee to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway. I can't go that high.
To start off every episode, we're wanting to get a question going amongst the Hydean heroes. And today, the question is from Kev.
I almost said it's going to be to Vern, but I realized, nope, I changed that. I did not change it there.
Catch up with your own decisions, Chris.
I could still think of a different question for later. If you just want to ask Vern a question.
No, I'm good.
I've got all kinds of time. I'm made of time.
Nope.
Really?
Yes.
Cav has a question for Billy. Billy, how do you feel? Oh, crap, I went to say you. How did I do this?
Wow, that broke down.
that
broke down faster than I thought.
Messing this up.
And right. So the regrets begin.
And Kev then doesn't survive.
Yeah.
And
yep,
I'm
done.
Barrowin slides Vern 5 credits because she's lost the bet.
I don't know where this is going to go, but these people strike me as not very detail-oriented. So I want to flip a light side point. Their repulsor sled is starting to give out. Coil's not doing too well.
All right.
We've been distracted from our concert by a minor shakedown of these people.
Yeah, I have no idea where this is going to go.
I'm unclear why we are shaking these people down, but I guess this is where we're going, right?
I have no idea either.
Varin smells credits.
For those listening at home, it is now 6 dark side, 1 light side.
You're welcome, everybody.
We haven't even made it to the Biscuit Baron.
I don't know already. In like the first 5 seconds, Cav is proving to be a little shadier than I was expecting. But I'm just rolling.
Yeah,
with
she
it.
Just jumped on that, like extorting random strangers who looked vaguely suspicious.
I think that must be a habit Cav has, since, you know, that and rummaging through couches to find loose change.
Cav will look for credits.
That's an uncanny Cav impression.
Cav needs credits.
Cav's suddenly, like, acquired Vuren's accent in addition to her own. She found it in the couch.
I get the reference, Leslie.
Ah, it was a reference.
Okay. To her home group.
Oh, God, you guys are such idiots. What are you doing?